Welcome in to Locked On Knicks. We went a little bit long on yesterday's podcast, so this is a continuation of that mailbag. And the reason we were able to do it, Alex, is because we got a great final question.
Yeah, we had a final question that asked us to break down 5 benchmark moments for Leon Rose during this Knicks offseason, things that he can do to potentially move the franchise closer to contention in the future. So we're going to break down all 5 of those and say whether we think that he will or will not do well with those tasks. We do have a little bit of dissension between us on a couple things, and we get into that and had some pretty good discussions about it. So that's coming up next on Locked On Knicks.
You are Locked On Knicks, your daily New York Knicks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is all rebound, back up, off the glass, it's good! RJ
Barrett
brings the Knicks to the
rim. What he does is contagious.
Robinson with a catch and slam. Across the lane, Knox foul from behind. Count it, and one to Trier. Trier drives down.
Becomes infectious.
I think we probably move on to the next and final question, right?
Yep. Yeah, let's do it. Knicks Life at FreeSpree5, a great handle given
and
the podcast we just had.
Yeah, and a consistent contributor. These two, Knicks Life always is stepping in with questions for this.
Shout out to him. If you want, this is a reach, but I'm going to make it anyways. If you want more Latrell Sprewell content and you missed it, check out our podcast with Mark Berman talking about the 1998-99 Eastern Conference Championship team. So Knicks Life wants to know, this offseason the Knicks will have 5 substantial opportunities to do something smart that moves the franchise closer to contention. He lists them out here. A, a lottery pick. B, their coaching hire. C, boatloads of cash for free agents / trades. D, a GM. E, the Clips pick / your second rounder. What's the over-under on how many Rose will hit on? I'll start off on this one, Alex. I don't want to go too in-depth because this could be a whole series of podcasts, and maybe it's worth doing a series of podcasts. We break down the chances of hitting on each one. If I had to guess, I'm going to say he goes either 2 or 3 for 5. I think between the lottery pick and the Clips pick, one of them is a pretty good, pretty high success, and then the other one is maybe like a slight disappointment. Like just because of the nature of this draft, I don't think you'll get too many highs or lows, because at least for me, expectations with whoever they pick, even if they have the number one pick, I think will be fairly measured. Like, I'm not necessarily assuming anyone in this draft would be an all-star. Like, I don't think personally, like, I would put it at over 50% that any one guy in this draft is going to be an all-star. So it's going to be hard to disappoint with a lottery pick unless they just take someone who's blatantly not helpful, or if they like insist on drafting someone who doesn't make sense on the roster. And to me, again, based on what I said earlier, that would be taking a center or taking a non-shooter. So that's the only way. Yeah.
Let's do it one by one. So like the lottery pick, you think it's going to be a hit, right?
I think let's put it like this. If they screw it up, that's a really, really bad sign. And we know they screw it up from day one. It's a really bad.
I'm with you. I think it's going to be a really hard, you know, it's going to, at least in the short term lens, you know, and I guess this offseason they have 5 cents do something smart to move the franchise closer to contention. So I don't know when, like, we're judging all these things of whether he's quote unquote hit on them or not. But let's just assume for the sake of argument that we look back on this time next year, provided that, you know, the NBA season goes off without a hitch and we're in the off season by this point next year. But even that's not a guarantee at this point. But, you know, lottery pick, I think I agree with you. It's going to be so subjective that it's going to be one of those where it's honestly sort of like the Frank DSJ Monk draft, where, you know, I get the feeling that the Knicks are going to have, and honestly, same with sort of Knox, McCall, and Miles Bridges. You know, I think there's going to be one of those deals where, unless the Knicks hop into the top 3 picks, and, you know, if they hop into the top 3, I think there's going to be sort of a guarantee of who they would go for. Where I think it would probably be Anthony Edwards or LaMelo Ball if they're in the top 3, like whoever falls to them. And if neither do, then it becomes a little more difficult. But, you know, if they're back in that, like 6, 7, 8 range, you know, then it's, I get the feeling that we're going to look at it and be like, okay, I could really justify them taking Killian or, you know, maybe Cole Anthony or maybe, Halliburton or maybe even like Obi Toppin, you know, like, cause he's an offensive force, you know, and could theoretically pair well with Mitch. Like, there's a lot of different ways that you can go with that pick. And I feel like a year out, we're not really going to fault them. And we're going to generally say like they made as good of a decision as they could have in a weak draft. And to your point too, I think there's going to just be a lot of high level role players in this draft. So for the coach, what do you think the chance, like, what do you think the chances are? Yes or no, as far as whether they hit that one out of the park finally. Like,
oh my God.
I've had a good coach in forever.
Yeah, it's such a loaded. I want to give you an answer, but I have no gauge for this because I know we were talking about Thibodeau before, and the thing that has me a little concerned is like he was still Ian Begley had a mailbag the other day on SNY, and Thibodeau I think was still the first name that he typed out when he was talking about potential candidates, and he's like he's about as plugged in as anyone, so that makes me think Thibodeau's still reliable. And just the idea that Rose would be inclined that way is such a bad sign, because to me it seems so obvious that Thibodeau isn't really a NBA coach at this point. He's not an NBA head coach at this point, and it's one of those things where I think you see this in football a lot, where someone comes up with a revolutionary system and they're kind of marked as a genius for the rest of their career, but they never progress further than that. And that's the that's why, I mean, the great coaches are great. It's because they're revolutionary, but then it's not, they don't get caught up in their own success in that
they're not one trick ponies.
They stay stagnant. It's that they have an innovative mindset where they keep innovating off of that initial innovation. And so many times you see coaches don't, and the rest of the league catches up and they don't have another move and they're done. And that's Thibodeau in a nutshell to me. So if he hires Thibodeau, that's an obvious failure. I'm going to be optimistic here. I'm going to say he's going to go player development. He'll get someone like Kenny Atkinson, who I'm not saying is a home run hire, and I don't think represents like a resounding success in a way Golden State getting Steve Kerr a couple of years ago did, but that would be a good solid hire. So I'm going to be positive. I'm going to say he gets the coach right.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're thinking yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm leaning that way as well. I think the draft pick is going to be whatever, because I think that's going to be a defensible decision no matter what. And ultimately we're going to walk away talking ourselves into whoever the Knicks take and being like, yeah, I think that was good. But coach is going to be the first thing this offseason. It's going to be like, this is the first real test for you. Like, even if they rehire Mike Miller and just sort of give him like a 1-year prove it deal as the head coach, based off how he performed to end this season, I would consider that a better alternative than going after one of these like retread guys. I thought of a really good comparison, by the way, when you were just describing, you know, how Thibodeau was, where he was sort of like an innovator who then got like way too much credit and sort of just then has been exposed since as just being like a whatever coach, like good enough to win some games, but not good enough to like get you anywhere. That description made me think of like Eric Mangini, like for football. You remember how like Mangini, yeah, he was with the Jets. He came from the Bill Belichick coaching tree, and Thibodeau came from a high profile coaching tree, didn't he? Was he with Pop?
Yeah, no, he was with Doc.
Oh, he was with Doc. That's right. He was with the Celtics. So he comes from this, oh my God, even in New England, comes from a high profile coaching tree in New England, and then goes, coaches, does pretty well right away. And then Mangini rode that for years. I mean, Mangini was like, he stayed with the Jets probably a year or two too long, and then immediately got snatched up to coach the Browns after that. And then rode that for a few more years and then finally got fired from there and hasn't found a job since, probably rightfully so, because I don't think he was really a good coach. But like, same sort of deal with Thibodeau. I think, you know, he had this amount of success at the beginning of his career, then gets hired by Minnesota to run everything and sort of runs it into the ground. And then, yeah, if the Knicks would hire him, I'd be like, well, first off, goodbye to all of our players' knees, groins, any of their appendages, forget about it. Their legs are going to fall off by the end of the year. But then secondly, you know, I just wouldn't have too much faith in this new front office. But I feel like the front office so far has been pretty, at least based off reporting around the team, has been pretty enamored with the idea. Like, Rose is, you know, very interested in seeing what he has in these young players and hoping to grow them and cultivate, you know, RJ and Mitch and all these guys. So I don't worry too much that he's going to totally screw it up. And to your point, I would love if he hired Kenny Atkinson. I think that'd be, even if it's just a transitional hire and Atkinson just sort of takes them to the same place that he took the Nets of being a playoff team, that's fine by me. Although I would hope the Knicks would be nicer than the Nets and at least give them one full season if the Knicks do get back into, you know, serious playoff consideration with him. At least give him a chance to prove he could be that guy. But even if he only develops the players for a few years and then the Knicks move on from him, I think that's the right move. And I do have faith that they have the right vision for that, so I think they're going to hit that too. The boatload of cash for free agents and trades, what do you think are the chances that they do well as far as that's concerned? All right, we're going to take a quick break, but first a quick reminder. Today's show is brought to you in part by MyBookie. Sports have come to a screeching halt with basketball benched and pitchers off the mound, but our friends at MyBookie aren't going to let it get you down. Stay sane and stay entertained with access to your favorite games like blackjack, roulette, slots, war, and more. Doesn't matter whether you're out on the front lines or quarantined at home, the fun doesn't have to come to an end with MyBookie. Video poker not your thing, but still need a fix? They've got you covered with a host of live casino dealers online. That's right, they have professional dealers at their tables, live on site, 24/7. Your favorite squad sidelined because of the pandemic? All of them are. Don't even sweat it. MyBookie is partnered with some of the leading esports brands to bring you wagers on virtual action straight from the court in NBA 2K20. Plus, you can always do your part to make your bankroll great again by taking advantage of shifting odds on political bets. You can trust the industry leaders in times like these. They're reliable, upright, and best of all, they pay fast when you win. Visit mybookie.ag and use promo code LOCKEDONNBA for a 150% bonus on your first casino deposit. That's promo code LOCKEDONNBA to receive a 150% cash bonus on your first deposit, and you can claim those extra funds all the way up to $750. Use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDONNBA at mybookie.ag. You spin, you win, you get paid.
I think they do in the sense that they don't make a big move. And I think you and I are in agreement that, like, Brandon Ingram's, like, the one guy who's worth throwing big money at. I mean, I've made it clear my take on that I think it's worth offering him a contract, like, especially, I think, I don't remember the specifics, but Jeremy Cohen threw out a really interesting scenario on it where the Knicks would give him sort of max money in a 1+1 that would get him into unrestricted free agency really quick.
It would have to be a 2+1. Of how the rules work, they have to be at least a 3-year contract to offer him, so he could hit free agency in 2022 again if the Knicks were interested.
Something like that would be a good nice little gamesmanship move that I wouldn't necessarily mind the Knicks pulling out, but I think they succeed in doing what they did last offseason, being passive, and hopefully Rose learns the lesson of last season's mistakes where you want to get vets that enhance what you currently have instead of bringing in guys who are statistically impressive but don't actually improve your younger talent. And I think Rose will have the common sense to be able to do that.
So you're saying yes, you think?
Yeah. I'm a lot more optimistic than I thought I'd be.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you, actually. I think he's going to show some smart tendencies. My only thing is I do think there's a decent chance that he might seriously look into, like, trading for Chris Paul and using cap space for that, and that definitely worries me. And so I guess in that sense, I would say – if he does that, that would sort of that to me, unless Chris Paul, like, takes the Knicks to the playoffs this year or something and ultimately lures, like, a megastar here in 2021 to come play with freaking 36 or whatever year old Chris Paul, whatever he's going to be, you know, in 2 years time, or I guess 1 year's time from now. Unless that happens, that wouldn't be a great move to me, and it definitely feels like that's something that Rose is thinking about doing with all that cap space. And there was just a report out today, I believe, that the NBA put out sort of a statement saying basketball-related income is expected to be down. So, like, players should be prepared to not get as much of that, but the salary cap is expected the NBA is expected to honor their salary cap projection for next year and for it to be somewhere in the $112 to $113 million range still for this coming off season. And then, you know, that would make me think that next off season they'll probably do the same thing and still try to at least honor the salary cap. So, I don't know. It's all a long-winded way of saying if he does that, that wouldn't be the best move to me. At least I would have a hard time talking myself into sacrificing that much cap space on Chris Paul in that loaded 2021 free agent class. So I'm actually going to give him my first strike here. I do think he's going to make a deal like that or something, or try to find one splashy guy this offseason to sort of put his stamp on the team. And that'll be the first move that sort of makes me question things a little bit. Picking a GM, confidence level. I guess I'll go first on this one. I don't really know how to feel about this one. I think I'm almost starting to think that he might try to keep Scott Perry around.
Yeah, I think that too.
It's starting to feel that way. There was also a rumor about Elton Brand of the Sixers. That would worry me a little bit because I don't think Elton Brand has done that great of a job with the Sixers. He built sort of a disaster of a team this year that made no sense, where your two best players are a point guard the size of a power forward and a center. And then his solution was to, I mean, he traded for Tobias Harris last year, which in theory was good, but then his solution with a whole bunch of cap space this past offseason was to sign Al Horford, who plays center.
Bad.
So essentially, you know, like, not a great idea. He did pull off a pretty good sign and trade, I thought, for Jimmy Butler, where he managed to get back Josh Richardson instead of Butler just walking. So I don't know. I mean, it's a mixed bag, but I'm not in love with Elton Brand. If he kept Scott Perry around just to essentially be the numbers guy while he's like the power broker, I think I'm okay with that, because you sort of brought Leon Rose in to be the power broker. And Scott Perry, I think, is a pretty good numbers guy. And ultimately, the one thing that you could say about Scott Perry and Steve Mills's tenure was that they really valued draft picks and they protected their cap space. As far as long-term cap space and making sure not to spend it on the wrong players. So I wouldn't hate it. I think ultimately we'll be okay with the GM. So I'm going to say yes. I think that they'll hit the GM pick.
Well, Alex, this will be the inverse of our last one. This is my first strike. I like you, I think they're going to end up keeping Scott Perry. And I think it's absolutely, it's what the Knicks, again, have been doing for 20 years and failing with for 20 years, keeping people who are at best average for the sake of continuity and James Dolan's idea of loyalty versus trying to get the best option out there. And I do think there are clearly better options out there. I think if Rose is willing to properly empower a GM to contribute for basketball decisions, because there are a whole lot of executives and assistant executives that are far more qualified than him to make basketball decisions, I think it would be a net positive for the Knicks. And to me, Perry is sort of the definition of average, and he got, I think, probably too much credit for just sort of not dramatically screwing things up. Like, he maintained flexibility. He didn't trade draft picks, but outside of the Mitchell Robinson pick, which was an obvious home run, I don't think he knocked any one thing out of the park. And I just want, for once, the Knicks to have the smarter thinker in a trade and to be the kind of team who can trick other teams into bad deals. And I haven't seen that from Perry. I don't think he's that guy, again, outside of one absolutely great draft pick. I think he's solid. I don't think it's the end of the world if they keep him as GM, but I just don't think that's how you win big as an NBA. I think you need someone who's a plus in terms of their ability to be a critical thinker, read the game, scout every aspect that goes into being a GM. I think they need to get someone better. So I'm not thrilled with the status quo, and I'm going to throw out my first strike here.
You know, I would push back on that. I think he's probably done about as good as you could expect on about half of his draft picks. And if you think about it, he's had one first and one second in each of the two drafts that he's been part of. And then they drafted Knox, who's still TBD, but, you know, as of right now, you could say bad.
Yeah.
And then, but then drafted Mitch in the second round, which is a huge home run.
That's great. Yeah.
And then, I mean, Trier, I think, as an undrafted free agent, was pretty good.
Yep.
And then you would, RJ, I think they did as good as you could have. You know, Zion and Ja were gone. So I thought that was a good pick. Like, they didn't fall for it and not take RJ. Like, they took the guy who had the most talent. They didn't, you know, make a weird move. And despite bringing guys in for workouts, they didn't take, like, Kobe White or Jarrett Culver or anyone like that, which ultimately I think worked out pretty damn good for them. And then second round this year took Iggy, which I think it's still too early to tell, but I thought that was a good pick. Like, I thought they made it smart.
I guess I'm going beyond his draft record. Like, I just think the idea that Randall was going to be helpful was dumb from the get-go.
Oh, I got you. Yeah. No, just initially you had said something about the draft, and I was like, I think in the draft, like, that's one place I would say. I think he's done a great job.
No, yeah, I think I said, like, the Mitch pick was great. And I was just saying the rest have just been sort of, like, the obvious picks, and, like, that's kind of my point. He doesn't make horrible mistakes, which by Knicks standards is a really big deal. Like, he does the right thing and he's solid. And this isn't like an attack on Perry in and of himself. Like, I think he has a spot in an NBA front office. I just think, again, I think you need someone who provides positive value, not just in the sense that they don't make the wrong decision, but in that they occasionally make great decisions. And let's put it like this. Mitch was that, but I just want a little bit more in terms of player acquisition. And not even just specifically in terms of draft picks, like finding that rare free agent that gives you real plus, like someone like Davis Bertans, like who gives you real plus value on a contract. And I think for the Knicks to win big, you need someone like that in the front office. And I just think Rose, I don't think he's going to be that guy. Like, I think he has connections, and to your point, he can operate as a power broker, but I'd be shocked if he was that kind of basketball thinker, because most agents just aren't. And there are maybe, how many guys in the league are there? Like, 15, 20 spread out over 12 teams-ish. Like, those guys are rare, but the Knicks are the type of franchise that can get that guy if they can identify him. So I'm just saying the goal should be finding one of those guys and hiring him and giving him however much money is needed.
Yeah, I guess we'll see. I don't know. Maybe I have way too much faith in Leon Rose as like a free agent acquirer. You know what I mean? But I just feel like, to me, I think he's going to be pretty good. Because if you look at his client book, it's huge. Like, he had so many different clients on his roster. And I just think that he's going to – you'll be able to sign, you know, really good players, I think, under him. And then I would trust – if it was just Perry essentially being the numbers guy and the drafting, you know, sort of guy, I'd feel pretty good about that arrangement if Rose is in charge of figuring out who to sign and, you know, Perry's sort of in charge of who to draft, more or less. I'd feel okay with that. But I guess we'll see. Time will tell. I always kind of held out for Perry a little more, I think, than a lot of people did, so – if they keep him, I'll have to put up or shut up at a certain point, you know, as far as how good he actually is. Then the final thing, so currently we're both at
3-1, right?
Yeah, 3-1. So we're both at 3 out of 4 right now. Last one is the Clips pick in the second rounder. I think this is sort of the same thing with the other pick, like the top pick, that it's going to be kind of impossible to screw these up. I mean, I guess maybe there's more of a case to be made that, like, early on in this draft, I think you could be forgiven for just taking best player available or, like, the consensus best player available. But later on in this draft, I think it's going to be more important to draft for need and identify sort of diamond in the rough type guys. But I think there's a chance that, you know, the 27th pick and the 38th pick will turn into good NBA players. You know, I think it sounds like the Knicks are – at least right now, they're, you know, all that Rose has to work with is all the intel from the Knicks' current scouts, and the Knicks' current scouts have been pretty damn good. So I hope they retain some of that scouting team, and hopefully make some good picks. I mean, I don't know if they just throw a couple names out, like if they don't take a point guard early on, let's say they take Denny, you know, and they take like Trey Jones at 27, like if he's available, Trey Jones out of Duke, if he declares, I think that would be a fantastic pick and a guy that you could put in that role to back up Frank Ntilikina, to start the season and kind of hold that role down. And then, you know, that other pick, you know, I've looked at like Cassius Stanley for, Sports Illustrated at Duke. He just put his name in for the draft today, I think, actually. Look at him at that pick if he's available, or even look at him at that with the 27th pick, I think. You know, that's a guy that just has a lot of promise. Killian Tilly, you know, I think would be a really good fit next to Mitchell Robinson, as far as facing the floor, stuff like that. If you want to look at like a big with the 27th pick, maybe you could look at like Cassius Winston from Michigan State, with your second pick, you know, if you just want sort of a plug-and-play college veteran, you know, point guard to have on the roster that could hopefully contribute right away, even if he has a, you know, a limited ceiling or whatever. Or you could just start looking for, you know, there's not a ton of, like, draft and stashy type guys, it seems like, this year, but maybe start looking in that direction and, you know, see if you could find someone like that. But it does seem like there's going to be a decent amount of, you know, senior talent and maybe even underrated freshman and sophomore talent this year. So I think it's going to be hard for the Knicks to screw this up. I would say that my confidence level is pretty high that this new regime will get this done.
Yeah, I don't even have a ton to add on that. I'm in total lockstep with you. I mean, I think that's, again, to your point earlier, that this is one of the areas where Perry has provided plus value. They've been, or you could argue the entire front office, at least the last couple of years, has provided plus value. Like, I just think even maybe it was a fluke, but the Robinson pick in and of itself, that was such a hit. It gives me faith that they can do this. And to your point, I think Trier and Iggy, regardless of how Trier turns out and regardless of how Iggy turns out, at least to me, appear like they were plus value relative to where they got them. So I like how the Knicks tend to think on those second round picks where they sort of, they have a pretty good balance of going proven commodities like really late, like they did with Iggy and Trier, and really sort of shooting for the moon with someone like Robinson. And they're able to find guys in both of those realms. And so far, just, I mean, 2 years, but they've hit to varying degrees on all three. So I think they'll do a good job with that. And I think, nearly an hour and a half in, this is a great time to wrap up this podcast. We had a lot of fun with it. Again, we're going to have Chris Herring on later this week, I think possibly tomorrow, though we don't quite have that finalized yet. And we are going to be talking about the 1994-95 Knicks team that made the NBA championship game. So that is going to be a heck of a lot of fun, Alex. And we're going to get into that tomorrow.
Yeah, can't wait. And Chris will be a great guest. And I feel pretty positive about that. And then we're going to have some more of that stuff with the greatest teams continuing in the next week, along with more mailbag questions. Of course, we pinned our latest mailbag tweet to the top of our Twitter account. So if you want to head over to @LockedOnKnicks on Twitter, you can always send us some more, you know, mailbag questions as this presumably pretty long hiatus of the NBA keeps going on due to the COVID situation. Anything that comes to your mind, feel free to drop us a line and we will be sure to insert it into a mailbag at some point or another. And we still have plenty of great questions to get to that were already submitted. So thank you for listening today, and we will talk to you in a couple days when we have Chris Herring on to talk about that 94 team.